does next. Yeah? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I got about 2 minutes. So, National Baptist Church Sunday, you know, what's your purpose in coming to church? We said in Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all the nations. That's what the church does until Jesus comes back. That's what the church does. But what is your purpose? You know, and I kind of already told you that already, but look what happens as a result of the church doing and pursuing and fulfilling the fivefold purposes of the church, which are all part and contribute to the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Let's read Acts 2, verses 46 and 47. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Now, just hold on a second. So where is church happening? When? Day by day. Every day is church. All right. What happens? They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So as folks pursue the mission of the church, which is helping people come to know Jesus and training those disciples to then go and do the same, as they were doing those things and focus on those things, then they found favor with all the people, and God was adding to their number day by day. Win, win. That's how it's supposed to work. And so your purpose in coming to church is simply an extension of your purpose in life. It's what you do because of who you are. Church isn't something that you play on Sunday. It's something you live every day. And that's the difference between religion and relationship. That's when you say, okay, why is it so important that I go? Because it is an extension of what you live out every day. If you have a personal mission statement, right? I know Rick and Jenny and I, like, there's no greater personal mission statement than to help today's generation come to know, love, and serve Jesus. You know, Jenny, my wife, who can't be here this morning. Hi, Jenny. I know she's watching at home. You know, her mission is to point others to Jesus, help them to discover Jesus. And do we understand that when we talk about going to church and the global church or even the local church, that the local church and the global church cannot fulfill the Great Commission unless the individual members are pursuing it? Everybody say, it's my job to help fulfill the Great Commission. That's why we go to church. That's why what? Oh, okay. So look at this, you know, the fivefold purpose, and you know, I don't want anybody to get those words, you know, evangelism, discipleship. Anybody scared by the word evangelism, like, oh, I can't do that, you know, or, you know, listen, these purposes are very simple, straightforward. Evangelism is simply telling others about Jesus. People in your life, hey, let me tell you about my friend Jesus. Let me tell you what he's done for me. That's why I love that song. Let me tell you about my Jesus, right? That's all evangelism is. Saying, hey, what's the reason for why I am the way I am? It's because of Jesus. Discipleship is simply applying Jesus' teachings to your own life. Intentionally applying it. That's what discipleship is. Not just going, yeah, I know all there is to know, and now I'm good, and I'm moving on. No. Every day, Lord, what does your word say? What are you teaching me today, right now? And help me apply it in my life. Help me to be more like you and less like the old me who needed you in the first place. What is fellowship? Fellowship is simply encouraging one another. We come to church to encourage one another, and there are days, absolutely, where we need to be encouraged by one another. Man, I understand that. You know, some days we're in, anybody ever been in a valley? And you're like, oh man, I just need to be around somebody who's going to come encourage me. That's what the church is supposed to do. We say all the time, our goal is that you leave here better than when you came in, that you were encouraged, that you are uplifted, that you are challenged, that you are motivated. And let me tell you, that happens. I'm going to look at Eric and Carrie there for a minute. Remember the first Sunday you guys were here? Right? You know, I remember, it's so clear, I met with you guys, and I saw you in the welcome room there, and I saw that you were praying with Kent and Cindy, and we talked, and you shared your story, and what did Cindy? Cindy said, well, here's my number. We're going to get together, and I'm going to come alongside and help you with that situation because that's my wheelhouse. That's what I love to do is help people in this specific situation. And I said, isn't that cool? Isn't that an example of how much God loves you guys? That the day that you came here, of all these days, the perfect people were in the welcome room to meet you, come alongside you and encourage you and give you help. That's how it works. And that's what it's missing if you're not here. What you bring to the table is what's so critical. That's fellowship. Worship is simply telling the Lord how much you love him. That's why we praise. That's why we sing. That's why we, you know, I'm telling out loud, God, this is how much I love you. And ministry is showing the Lord how much you love him because you are obedient to him. And so you demonstrate that by what you do because what you do is the result of what you believe. Notice that the purposes of the church are active. They're not passive. It requires movement. It requires you to do something. And continuous. There's never that point where you go, okay, I mean that's the goal, right? The goal is that we preach the gospel, that all the world hears and makes a decision, and then Jesus comes again, right? I'm trying to work myself out of a job. That's the goal, okay? You know, discipleship, I was reading, I'm over time already, but oh well. You know, I read Dear Abby again the other day. Could I read Dear Abby to keep a pulse on this is what our culture is like. And this guy writes in, he's like, Abby, I don't know what to do. I'm so frustrated in love. He says, I get in these relationships with women. And this is the key word, this is what jumped out off the page at me, right? He says, and I fix them. And then I get friend-zoned. What do we have for him, Johnny? Here's the answer, right? How many of you know? Like, that's not love. Relationships are not problems to fix. Who needs fixing? I do. Fix yourself. Work on yourself. Learn how to love, and you'll be amazed at the results. And that speaks to my personal experience, you know, that's my whole story there. But, you know, when I was a teenager and there was this gorgeous brown-haired, green-eyed girl and she was my best friend and all this stuff. And I tried to fix stuff. And, of course, it was disastrous. And so I gave up. I said, she's out of reach. I'll never be able to attain that, so I'll have to settle for something else. And I got real with the Lord and said, Lord, I don't want to be that guy. Help me to learn and help me to be the guy you created me to be and help me to love like you do. And I just focused on that, work on my character. And then one day when I wasn't expecting it or looking for it, she said, hey, can I talk to you? You know, I want you to know I'm starting to really like you. I'm like, yay. If you know my story, you know what I actually said in the moment, which, again, is just a point that we're all a work in progress. So, but that was what I was feeling inside. Yeah, right. And, you know, fellowship, encouraging one another. We just want to say again, you know, we are just absolutely amazed and overwhelmed by the outpouring of support for Jenny as she continues to recover from surgery. And it's a long road, and there's good days, and there's hard times. And it's just simply, you know, I'll be honest, we're not usually on the receiving end of this. It's kind of odd. It's really nice. It's really, really nice. So thank you all to all who have reached out and or messaged and emailed or cards and all that good stuff. It absolutely makes a difference to know, like, man, there are people who authentically love one another and they demonstrate it. And that's what it's all about. And so we absolutely believe that you reap what you sow. And so if you do that, then it's going to come back to you. And God's a God who pays his debts with interest. So that's how that works. Here's real quick. I just want to show you. This is what happens, what you can expect when the church pursues and fulfills its purposes. Number one, God is glorified. People are edified and you are satisfied. That comes right out of our 201 networking course. When you serve God, this is the purpose in serving God. God gets the glory, people feel better, and you are satisfied because you are fulfilling that which God has created you uniquely to do. Secondly, people are set free from religion. I love that we sang Set Free this morning. That's what it's all about. I am free. All right? We are set free from religion because knowledge of who Jesus is brings love. And that brings you in that relationship. And then the needs of the community are met because love brings service. If you love Jesus, you can't help but be obedient to him and do things. And that means doing things like he did, which is meeting people in their need, tangibly. Not just, yeah, I'll pray for you from a distance, but here, let me, whatever your need is right now, let me come alongside and help you do that. You can also be guaranteed that religion is going to get upset. If you read on Acts chapter 2, you know, all this great stuff happens, and then immediately Acts chapter 3, it's not the government, it's not even people who don't agree with Jesus who get upset. It's the religious community. They're the ones who get their knickers in a bind and start lashing out. And you can look at our culture today, and you can see the great disparity and the great upheaval that is in religion when it comes to all the social topics of the day and how divided we are, whether it's the LGBTQ plus identification, whether it's immigration, whether it's abortion, and on, and the Second Amendment rights, and all those things, and on, and there's this great disparity, and who gets upset? Religious people get upset. The flesh gets angry. And, you know, again, we certainly saw that. We continue to see that in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk and all that stuff. You know, you see these two, this deepening divide. On the one hand, of people who say, you know, this we have recognized we have crossed the threshold here, and that's just wrong. And we gotta put the brakes on this now. And yet there is this undercurrent over here that says, yeah, good. That I'm telling you, that's trouble. That's the flesh. That is the enemy, because Ephesians 6:12 tells us that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness and wicked in the high places. That the devil is the one who is behind these things, and the devil gets upset, especially when someone would dare to speak the truth in the name of Jesus Christ. And then is even more irritated now because a fire has been lit in those who have said, man, if we're not gonna stand silently by and let this pass. That fire, that one man's mission has become a crusade, right? And so the flesh gets angry and wants to represent itself and wants to lash out, and you're gonna continue to see that. And I guess we're gonna talk about this again next week, right, Rick? Matthew 24. We're gonna come back to that next week.
Yeah.
Yep. So by popular demand, apparently, we'll come back to Matthew 24 next week. So we're gonna talk about that and how the flesh is gonna respond to all these things. But the great news in all this is the end result: the devil's defeated. The devil. There's no scenario. There is no scenario in which the devil wins ultimately, you know, and that's what John 1:5 says, that the light has come and shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it, but it has not overcome it. The light wins. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, let's read it nice and loud together. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. God wins in the end. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So music team, you guys want to come on up here? You know, welcome back to Church Sunday. You know, your purpose in the church, it comes down to that question of obedience. So I'm asking you this morning, what has Jesus called you to do in the church because of who you are in him? This morning, has your heart been pierced by the truth? What's the next step of obedience that you need to take in your relationship? And so I'm going to ask everybody here to close your eyes for just a moment here. If you have never before said yes to Jesus, if you don't know him, but you want to know him personally today, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand right now so I can see you and agree with you in prayer that you're asking Jesus into your life this morning. If you're doing it on a live stream, just hit us up in the chat box. Let us know. Anybody making that decision this morning? I see you. I see you. I see you. Great. I'm going to invite all of us to pray this out loud together. Would you join me? Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe in you. I believe you lived and died for me. But you came back to life. Lord, I give you my life. I will be obedient to you. Help me, Lord, to understand your ways. to understand your word. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. By his power, by his wisdom, helps me to be obedient to you. And I thank you, Lord, for all the good that is going to be the result of me being obedient to you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.